يعني فإن هذا مسجد هذه مؤتمر أوسط هذا الإمام الطبراني عند الشيخ في لايكوايز تيتشا إن في معهد في هرم and similarly he's a researcher in the library or one of the libraries of the Haram in Mecca. So inshallah today the Sheikh has an ongoing lesson around the Manahij or the Manhaj al-Salikin of Imam Abdurrahman bin Sa'di. He's going to continue with that and then afterwards inshallah he's going to deal with some of the questions and answers and the issues of the brothers have been inshallah. So we'll let the Sheikh يعني continue with his darb inshallah. جزاكم الله خيرا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. ألا وإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فقد توقفنا عند قول المصنف رحمه الله تعالى في فصل المسح على الخفين والجزيرة، قوله بعد أن بين أحكام المسح على الخفين، يبين الآن أحكام المسح على الجزيرة، فقال رحمه الله تعالى: فإن كان على أعضاء وضوئه جزيرة على كفر أو دواء على جرح ويضره الغسل مسحه بالماء في الحدث الأكبر والأصغر حتى يبرأ. المسح على الجزيرة يختلف عن المسح على الخفين، لذلك سيبين المصنف رحمه الله تعالى أو بين المصنف رحمه الله تعالى في هذا الكلام الفرق بين المسح على الخفين والمسح على الجزيرة. The Sheikh mentioned that we finished in the last session around the issue or the section around wiping over the khuffain or يعني the two leather socks and the jabira, which is the splint that is placed on or that which is placed over a wound or a break. And the Sheikh mentioned that after the Sheikh explained and the Imam explained the ahkam of the rulings of wiping over the khuffain or over the leather socks, we went on to explain the ruling around the wiping over the splint. He said that the affair of the mask or wiping over the jabira, the splint, differs from the affair of wiping over the leather sack. He said, and for that reason, the musallif or the author went on to explain and mention something concerning wiping over the jabira or the splint. Well, jabira, yeah, it's not an مواد توضع على مكان الكسر ليستقيم هذا الكسر، ويجبر ويبرأ صاحبه بإذن الله. وغالبا أن المريض الذي توضع عليه الجزيرة غالبا ما يلبس الجزيرة في أماد، يعني طبعا لبس الجزيرة على حالين: إما أن يكون خارج أعضاء الوضوء، وإما أن يكون في أعضاء الوضوء. مثلا كأن يكون الكسر في وسط الساق، ساق يعني في الرجل في وسط الساق، فالساق يمن بالغسل أو بالمسح، فيجب أن تعمم أيضا الجزيرة لذلك. وهناك فروق بين الجبيرة، هناك فروق بين المدح على الخفين والجبيرة سأبينها إن شاء الله فيما يلي.
We mentioned that the affair of the Jabira, therefore, he went on to explain what exactly the Jabira was. He said that the Jabira is, in essence, something that is placed over a grave, meaning whether a person breaks the bone, is something that is fit and solid that is placed upon a break in order to correct that break, and so that the person who has that break, his breakage will correct itself over time. And he said that the ghalib, or that which is the general order of affairs in regards to that, is that is one of two things. That is that jabira, that splint that is placed over a break, usually one of or upon one of two affairs. Either it is something that is placed upon a limb that is not from the limbs of wudu, or it is placed upon one of the limbs of wudu. It's an example of the jabira that is placed upon other than the limbs of wudu is like a splint that is placed upon the back or upon the shin. He mentioned as far as the affair of the splint upon the shin, then the shin is not from the a'aba or not from the limbs of wudu. Therefore, it is not wiped over because of the fact that the shin is not from the limbs that are washed during the wudu. He said that the second affair is that it's placed over one of the limbs of the wudu, and that is no doubt the topic of discussion. And for that reason, the Imam he mentioned concerning the Jabira, that as for the Jabira, then he mentioned that if he has upon the a limb that is washed during the wudu, a jabira, if he has that slim of that limb because of a break, or zawa, or some type of medicine that is placed upon a wound, which is then wrapped, he said if that is the case, then he wipes over that with ma, with water, in major purification or the minor purification until it is cured. So the Sheikh mentioned that the affair of the Jabira, therefore, is something as the Imam mentioned, that is placed over a break, or that which is encompassed by the ruling is that which is placed upon, or the medicine that is placed upon a wound. So he mentioned, so whether it is from the splints that are placed over a break, or whether it is the medicine of whatever sort that is placed over a wound and then bound bandaged, he said whatever the case is, if it is this or that, then the ruling is the same, and that is that one wipes over the whole of that in the major purification or during the minor purification. And we should mention concerning the affair of the wiping, then we see here that the wiping over the jabira, the splint, or that medicine that has a bandage over it, he said that it is different from the wiping over the khufayn, different from wiping over the leather sack, in that wiping over the khufayn or wiping over the leather sack, one wipes over that which is manifest from the top of the sack. One wipes over the top of the sack, beginning from the area of his toes and ending traveling towards his shin, with that. And that is done upon that which is apparent or upon the outside of the khuf, upon the outside of the khuf, that is the thing that is right. Because as far as jabira is concerned, they differ from the khuf. With the khuf, we have the light of the statement of Ali, that he is establishing the sunnah, that the missing the wax over the top of the khuf. Similarly, we have the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib and radiallahu anhu, who mentioned that if the deen or if the religion was by opinion, then the bottom of the khut would have been given precedence in wiping than the top of it. So he mentioned that that is established, therefore, that the khut, the top of the khut, is wiped over. So he mentioned that as for the jabira or the splint, all that which is placed over
a wound, and a miracle that is placed over a wound that's been bound, then one wipes over all of that, and he does that for a number of affairs. Firstly, the wiping over that, you should mention, is established from the rulings that were given in that regard from the Philip. That the Philip is not to bury over the wound or the splint that it is wiped over, and all of it is wiped over, not just the top part of it. That all of it is wiped over. And as far as secondly, you mentioned that the Jadira just generally covers, and it is covered by, or it covers the whole of that limb. And the whole of that limb is covered by that plaster, or the splint, or the bandage, whatever the case may be. Therefore, one wipes all of that area that is bound by that bandage or by that splint.
وأما الفروق
وأما بالنسبة للفرق بين المسح على الجبيرة وبين المسح على الخفين فقد ذكر العلماء عدة فروق. أولا المسح على الخفين لا بد أن يلبس الخفين على طهارة كاملة، أما الجبيرة فلا يشترط أن يتقدم عليه أن يتقدم على لبسها طهارة، فلو لبسها وهو محدثا حدثا أصغر أو أكبر فلا بأس بذلك. ثانيا المسح على الخفين له مدة يوم وليلة للمقيم وثلاثة أيام بلياليهن للمسافر، أما المسح على الجبيرة فلا مدة له إلى أن يبرأ، قد يستمر شهرا أقل أو أكثر لا يضر هذا. ثالثا المسح على الخفين على ظاهرهما الأعلى، أما المسح على الجبيرة فعلى جميعها. رابعا المسح على الخفين يكون من حدث أصغر فقط، فإذا أجنب وجب نزعهما وغسل القدمين. أما المسح الجبيرة فقد يكون لحدث أصغر أو أكبر، فقد يكون لحدث أصغر أو أكبر. نعم. So the chair mentioned that therefore there are a number of issues that we want to discuss concerning the affair or the difference between wiping over the jabira, wiping over the splint, or the bandage, and wiping over the khufayn, wiping over the leather top. So there are a number of differences that we're going to mention, inshallah. The first of them is that the khufayn, or the leather top, it is a must that a person has tahara, or is in a state of purification when he puts them on. It is a must that he is in a state of purification when he puts them on. As for the jabira, as for the splint, and that is not a condition. It is not a condition that a person is in a state of tahara when that is placed upon him for him to be able to wipe over that. Secondly, they should mention that the khufayn, they have the mudda, or they have a period of a day and a night for the person who is resident, or 3 days and 3 nights for the person who is a traveler. So the person who is resident or a traveler can only wipe over his back for that mudda or for that period that has been established in the sunnah. As for the jabira, as for the split, that there is no prescribed period for wiping over that, yani that after 2 years one cannot wipe over it. Yani as long as the person has that on him, a month, 2 months as the case may be, then it is permissible for him to wipe over that, as the Sheikh mentioned. Thirdly, he mentioned that the affair of the wiping over the khufayn, or the two tops, or the leather tops, is not over that which is apparent in the top of those two tops. As for the jabira, then one wipes over the whole of that. one white clothing, all of that, and not just the top side of it. Third and fourth, the Sheikh mentioned that the one who wipes over his top may only do so on the basis of the hadath al-afghar. May only wipe off his top because of a minor impurity, impurification. That is, because of minor impurity. But as far as the wiping of the jabira, the splint, or the bandage, the one can do so because or due to the minor impurity or the major impurity, and the old things that require that he makes the ghusl.
المسح على الجبيرة أريد أن أنبه إلى قضية مهمة كان مفترض أن تكون في أول الحديث وهي أنه لم يثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث في المسح على الجبيرة. أما حديث صاحب الشجة فهو حديث ضعيف عند أهل العلم، ولكن أفتى بهذا جماعة من السلف أن من كانت عليه جبيرة أو نحوها فإنه يمسح عليها، ورأى بعض أهل العلم رأيا أنه يتيمم، ولذلك المذهب الحنبلي اعتمد على فتوى السلف أنه يمسح على الجبيرة، وهذا هو الذي عليه الشيخ ابن عثيمين والشيخ ابن باز وغيرهما من أهل العلم. وبهذا القدر كفاية من هذا الدرس، ونتوقف لأننا بإذن الله عز وجل معنا في هذه الليلة الطيبة بإذن الله عز وجل إخوة لنا من بريطانيا من المكتبة السلفية، وأود كما يودونهم أن تكون هناك كلمة عامة تتناسب مع هذه الليلة، ثم بعد ذلك تكون هناك أسئلة، فنقف عند هذا الحد من هذا الدرس، وصلى الله اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
So then the Sheikh mentioned that there is an issue that relates to the affair of wiping over the Jabira that we want to clarify, and that is an important issue that the Sheikh mentioned. We should have by right mentioned it at the beginning or towards the beginning of the dars, but inshallah I'm going to mention it now, and that is that there is not a hadith that is established upon the Messenger of Allah concerning wiping over the Jabira. There is no established hadith concerning wiping over the Jabira, and that which is utilized or that which is mentioned concerning or as a proof by some of the scholars, like the hadith of the person who was wounded, all of those evidences are hadith that are da'ifa. All evidences that are da'ifa, that are weak, are hadith, but we conclude that there is no hadith that is authentic concerning wiping over the Jabira. So they should mention that in regard. But we have though some fatawa from some of the salaf, some of the tabi'een and so on, and for that reason we find that our scholars pass the verdict in regards to the issue on the basis of those fatawa. Even though some of the scholars hold that that which is upon the person al-Jabira and is that he should make tayammum and that he should wipe over the Jabira, but the Sheikh mentioned that the position of the Malik and upon his many of the fatawa and the verdict and the ruling of the Salaf and the predecessors was that they would wipe over the Jabira, and on that basis the madhab of Imam Ahmad, the Hanbali madhab, is I hold unto those narrations of the Salaf wherein they used to give the fatwa that one should wipe over the Jabira, and that is the position of the life of Sheikh Muhammad bin Saleh al-Husaymin and others from among al-Ilm in our time, holding onto those narrations from the Salaf and concerning wiping over the Jabira. And on that note, the Sheikh mentioned that we're going to round up there, inshallah, because of the fact that
We're here with the brother from the Masjid al-Salafiyya, and we intended that we have and make part of the kalima or part of the session for them and some of the questions and answers that they may have around whatever issues. So the shaykh on that note rounded up. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
روى الصحابي الجليل العرباض رضي الله عنه حديثا عظيما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
أي وجريت من نوب الصحابي الجليل عرباض بن ثابت رضي الله عنه حديث إخوان that is عظيم and tremendous. There is a messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم عرباض informed us gave us an admonition. He mentioned that the admonition because of it the eyes shed tears and the heart were filled with fear. So we tell the Messenger of Allah, it is as though this is a going away sermon to advise us. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam mentioned that indeed I advise you with the fear of Allah and that you hear it. See what's different? What's different is so cling to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, al-Mahdiyin who come after me, cling to that, and hold unto that, or bite unto that with your morality. So the Shaykh mentioned that this hadith, no doubt, is a hadith that is azim, is a tremendous hadith, and it is a great foundation. From the foundations of the deen, because of that which is present in it, from Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us an admonition. He mentioned concerning the admonition that the admonition or the intent behind the mawila is that kalam or those statements and that speech that has in it an encouragement to do good. And likewise has in it a warning and a discouragement against evil. So he mentioned that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to يتخول and the Shaykh mentioned that the term يتخول has in it an indication of him giving them sermons from time to time but not doing so plentifully, yani that he would choose the right time and the suitable time to give them sermons and he would not يعني give them too much sermon. And he would not give them too much admonition, rather he would do that from time to time. So he mentions that Irbad said, Zarafat min al-ujood, that the eyes shed tears. And he mentioned that the hearts were filled with fear. So the Shaykh then said, why? What was the reason for the heart shedding tears, and for the heart being filled with fear, and the eyes shedding tears? What was it that the heart feared and that made the eyes shed tears?
فإذا قوله رضي الله عنه وأمن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بينا أن الموعظة
هذا
الاستشهاد
الجوائز
بينا أن الموعظة كلام يشتمل على ترغيب وترهيب، ترغيب في فعل الخير وترهيب من شأن الشر. وبينا أيضا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن يكثر الموعظة لأصحابه، بل كان عليه الصلاة والسلام يختار الأوقات المناسبة. وهنا تنبيه مهم، كثير من الناس يخطئون في باب الموعظة وهذا الخطأ يجرهم إلى عدم التأثر بها، إلى عدم التأثر بها، فيقولون نسمع الموعظة ولا نتأثر. والجواب أن هذا بسبب الخطأ في فهم الموعظة. أولا، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في حديث ابن مسعود لم يكن يكثر من المواعظ، وبعض الناس دائما يستمعون المواعظ حتى لا يستمعون إلى العلم الشرعي، إنما فقط يستمعون المواعظ. فهنا حصل الخطأ. ابن مسعود يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أحيانا يعظهم. فإذا السنة في الموعظة أن تكون في أوقات مختلفة لا في أوقات مستمرة. ثانيا، يخطئون في الموعظة حينما تشتمل فقط على ترغيب وترهيب، أو مجرد عندما تشتمل الموعظة على مجرد تخويف من الناس، بينما السنة في الموعظة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما نراه في صحيح البخاري وفي كتب السنن وغيرها، في كتب الزهد والرقائق، في كتاب الزهد والرقائق أو في كتب الزهد المفردة، نرى أحاديث المواعظ تشتمل على ترغيب في فعل الخير، وعلى ترغيب من فعل الشر، وعلى أحكام أخرى. فليست موعظة مجردة عن الأحكام، وليست موعظة مجردة عن الترغيب، بل تشتمل على هذا وهذا، وهذا ما يتناسب مع النفس الإنسانية التي تشتاق لفعل الخير بالترغيب فيه، وتبتعد عن فعل الشر بالترغيب منه، وتقدم على الأعمال إذا يعني بين لها ما فيها من فضل وخير. ولذلك قال الإرباب وأمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكأنه لم يكثر صلى الله عليه وسلم في مواعظه، هذا أمر نادر. وأما قوله ذرفت منها العيون ووجلت منها القلوب، وجلت بمعنى خافت. والسؤال هنا لماذا ذرفت العيون ولماذا خافت القلوب؟ الظاهر الله أعلم أن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم الحاضرين لهذه الموعظة البليغة استشعروا وتلمسوا من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كأنه سيفارقهم، كأنه سيموت صلى الله عليه وسلم، فحثهم على أمور يستمسكون بها من بعده، فذرفت العيون من ذلك ووجلت القلوب من ذلك. وكأنهم أيضا استشعروا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما يموت يحملهم الأمانة من بعده، فخافوا من التقصير فيها، فلذلك ذرفت منها العيون ووجلت منها القلوب. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في صحيح مسلم فيما أذكر أنه قال أنا أمنة لأصحابي، فإذا مت أتى أصحابي ما يوعدون، وأصحابي أمنة لأمتي، فإذا مات أصحابي أتى أمتي ما يوعدون، إلى آخر الحديث. فلذلك استشعر الصحابة رضي الله عنهم هذه الموعظة استشعارا بليغا، بكوا منها، ذرفت منها العيون، وخافت منها القلوب، وهم رجال أشداء رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم، ولكنهم عند الحق وعند الأمر المعروف والنهي عن المنكر يقولون أخوف ما يكونون من الله عز وجل.
So the chair mentioned that here is an important issue that many of the people make a mistake concerning, and we want to clarify the issue because of the fact that many people make mistakes concerning that, and that is as it relates to the affair of the Mawiba, of the affair of giving admonition. He says that the Messenger of Allah, as we mentioned, as Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned, did not used to be plentiful in giving the Sahaba admonition, that he didn't do it plentifully, but he was done from time to time. He said that's first thing. He said, and secondly, what we find is that many of the people, another one of the mistakes, he has only tarheeb, only an encouragement to do good, or only fear, yani instilling fear in the hearts of the people. He said, as far as the Sunnah is concerned, when we analyze the mawiba and the admonitions that were given by the Messenger, we see that the Messenger's admonitions had in them tarheeb and encouragement to do good, yani instilling fear in their hearts from committing evil, and likewise, they were in it the presence of other ruin. There were other ahkam, not only fear, all encouragement to do, but that likewise there were other rulings given in the admonition of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's an upper we find people saying yani, that an admonition was given, and nobody is benefiting from it, or nobody yani, is affected by it. It's a character of them opposing the Sunnah in regards to the manner in which the admonition has to be given. So he says that for that reason, Al-Baz ibn Isaiah, radiallahu anhu, mentioned, Tarat min al-uyun, wa wajilat min al-qulub, that the eyes should tear, and the heart will fill with fear. Yani, I mean, that it was something that they were acquainted with. So he says, and second he mentions, why therefore would the eyes should tear? And why would the heart, still fear? He said, that is the problem of the hadith, when we analyze the hadith, it was the fear that they took was on the basis of that which they received from the Messenger of Allah, alayhi wa sallam, sermon. Firstly, as I say, that they bring away them. So they felt that the Messenger of Allah was going to send them, and not from them. So that in and of itself was that is sitting in their heart, meaning that they felt that the Messenger of Allah was going to leave the humble, the revelation and so on, with stuff and so on. He mentioned the point, they also said that the amana and the trust of conveying the message was not out to hear them, and was about to be placed upon them. First of all, then that amount of trust would not be placed upon them. They mentioned on the basis of another hadith, where the Messenger of Allah mentioned the Amir to the Ashabi, he said, I'm sure it's the same Muslim, Amir, I say bow to my companion, and when Amir will come to me, yani, running through their minds, and for that reason,
مثله من بعده الوصي الأولى الأولين والآخرين بين الذين أوتوا فهذه وصية أولهم وآخرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام لأبي وسلم من عذاب الله وسخطه وربك الواجبات ورأس تقوى الله عز وجل أن يعلم العبد تقى ثم يتقى